So let's look at God's word. And we're continuing our thought from a verse that we read here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 30, where this was what the prophet said to Eli. And we read here, it's the last half of that verse, and it says, "Be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." This is a principle that we can take for ourselves, that God shared, that they that honour the Lord, He will honour them. They who despise the Lord and don't consider the Lord, they will be lightly esteemed in His eyes as well. And we're going to continue to look at how God did this with this young boy, Samuel. Samuel, we saw, honored the Lord. And because of this, God honored him. And last week we saw how Samuel honored the Lord's work. Samuel was a faithful minister in the house of God. And because of this, God honored him in a wonderful way by speaking to him, coming to him and starting a relationship with this young boy Samuel, something that was rare in those days. That hadn't happened for a long time. And Samuel got to enjoy hearing the word of God, God speaking to him and enjoying that relationship with him. And we saw that if we want God to honor us, well, one good place to start is to honor him in his work, in being faithful in doing the work of the Lord that he calls us to do. And as we saw, it doesn't matter if it's something up the front like Eli did, or if it's something behind the scenes like Samuel in just doing the menial tasks. It doesn't matter if you've been doing it a long time like Eli or only a short time like Samuel, we need to be faithful to the Lord. And so last week we saw how Samuel honored the Lord's work. And today we're going to continue this concept of how he honored the Lord and how God honored him because of that. And we're going to look at how Samuel honored the Lord's word, which is just as important. And in verses 15 to 18 of chapter 3, we see how Samuel honored God's word and considered it precious. And we're going to draw that out a bit and see what unfolded there. So I'd like to read on from what we had in our Bible reading and look at verses 15 to 18. It says there in verse 15, "And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.' And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he," we can suspect that's Eli, "said, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good.'" Now, I would like you to try and put yourself in Samuel's situation here. He is a young man. They say he was around 12 years old, but we don't know exactly. And since he was around 4 years old, he had lived with this man Eli and his family. And I'm sure they felt like family to him. And there's no doubt that Samuel, as a young man, young boy, had a reverence for his high priest, Eli. We can see that where during the night, when he thinks he can hear Eli calling him, he doesn't lie there and think, "Oh, I'm not going to come, it's too late, I'll wait till the morning." He didn't have a bad attitude. No, as soon as he heard the call of Eli, there was that reverence to jump up and ask him, "What do you want, sir?" And he did that three times. And so there is no doubt he had a sincere respect and maybe a fear as well of God's high priest. But this night, God comes and speaks to this young boy. And God doesn't talk about the weather. God doesn't even heap praise on Samuel and say, I am so proud of you and you've been such a faithful person. He doesn't do that. No, God tells him how he is going to punish Eli and his family for their sin. And so he was going to punish them, punish those who he had lived with and worked with for most of his life. Now, if that was you, I'm wondering how you would be feeling when you got told that news, what was going to happen. Would you be just bursting at the seams to get up and tell Eli and his family this bad news that's going to be happening? Would you be happy about the news, or would you be afraid of telling anyone because of how they may react towards you? Well, we don't have to wonder how Samuel felt, because we read there in verse 15 at the end, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He was afraid to show him this. This wasn't something he wanted to do. He laid there all night, I suspect excited that God had spoken to him, but probably scared as well, what am I going to say to Eli the next day? I often think how hard it must be for a doctor to share with their patient that they have a terminal disease. That's a terrible thing to have to do. Or the police who have to go and knock on a door and tell the parents that their child has been killed in a car accident. These are not nice. This is not nice news to deliver to anybody. Yet we have here a young boy who gets told by God that the high priest, the one that has looked after him and raised him, is going to be killed by the hand of God because of his sinful actions. I'm sure he lay there that night wondering what might happen to him if he told Eli what was going to go on. Would he be kicked out of the temple? Would he be mistreated? How would those sons of Eli react to this? Because they weren't very nice men. Would they do terrible things to him? Would everyone hate him if he told them what God actually said to him that night? It's obvious that Samuel, as I said, was worried, because it says that he was afraid to tell Eli what he said. And so Samuel got up, did the only thing he could do, and just go on living, maybe hoping that Eli would never ask him what happened, and did God actually speak to you? And so he got up, opened the door of the temple, and continued. But then we're told in verse 16 that Samuel got that dreaded call. It says there, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And so this time it was Eli calling. It wasn't God calling out, it was Eli. This time Eli called and wanted to know, well, what did God tell you? That's what he goes on to say in verse 17. It says, and he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. I don't know what Eli was thinking there. I don't know if he's thinking, wow, this is exciting. God is finally speaking. He hasn't spoken for a long time. What has God got to say? Maybe he was excited. Maybe he was curious. Or maybe he had a sinking feeling that this wasn't good news, that God was speaking to that young boy instead of him. I don't think this is good news. What is sad, though, and maybe you've never noticed this or contemplated this when you looked at this story, which is very well known, what is sad is that Eli, the high priest, had to go to a little boy to find out what God was saying. I think that's the saddest thing out of all of this story. Eli, the high priest, had to go to the little boy to find out what God had said. It just showed how despised Eli was in the sight of the Lord, that God preferred to speak to a little boy than his own high priest. That is being despised by God. And what's just as sad, I might add, is that is something that I have seen over the years, even today. Not so much with the high priest and the young boy, but I have seen this happen many a times in families where parents grow cold to the things of God. Yet their children have that spark and that vibrance to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord and to fellowship with the Lord, and they spend time in God's word and they're praying and they have a close relationship with their God where their parents don't. It's the young ones that God is speaking to instead of the older ones in the house. Being a youth group leader for many, many years now, I have seen that too many times. You know, I remember once we get to have the BJU team, we used to in times gone by. And when I lived up in Coffs Harbour, when our children were young particularly, we had a young lady stay with us. And she was a young lady that was just on fire for the Lord, just seemed to have a sweetness about her. She shared how she grew up in a Christian home and so on. And we just went about our normal business. We had our meal and then we had our family time. And she said to us later, you know, I've never seen that before. And we were like, what? She says, I've never seen a family time before. My parents have never done that. She had to go all the way to Australia to see people talk about the Lord in that manner. She said that she had never seen her mother or father have a quiet time. Now, either they were very good at hiding it, or they never did that. They went off to church, they lived the Christian life, so to speak, but they never spent time with the Lord themselves. And I found that incredibly sad. But it's the same, as I said, being a youth group leader for so long, although I'm not now, I have seen that where you see the children on fire for the Lord, but you look at their parents and you think, they're not the same. They've grown cold. And what often happens is, before too long, the parents are going to their children to find out what God has to say. The roles are reversed, and the parents are going to the children for wisdom of what they ought to be doing. Or the children see that they're acting unwise, and they try and teach their parents what they should be doing. The roles are reversed. And I do believe that's why it's incredibly important, if you're a parent, to make sure that you are spending time with God and make sure that your children are aware of that, that they know that I have parents that love God so much, they spend time with Him, He speaks to them and they speak to them. That is incredibly important as a parent. You know, when my children were little, the Lord showed me something that I thought was annoying, which was really an absolute blessing that I didn't recognize. I would get up when my children were little, because I knew once they got up, to be able to spend time with the Lord was nigh impossible without lots of distractions. And so I would make sure that I got up before the children and I'd go into my study away from everyone and I'd have my quiet time. But what would happen is, would particularly be Alicia and Robert. I don't know what happened with Josh. He just sleep in. I don't know. Maybe it was Josh too. I can't remember. But as soon as they woke up, they didn't just quietly play in their room. They didn't go into the bedroom. They would get up and go straight into my study to say hello to me. Right? And I would find that frustrating. Oh, they keep interrupting me while I'm trying to have a quiet time. And I'd say, look, you need to go out. I'm spending time with God. I'm praying and reading. And that sort of frustrated me, strangely. Until one day, I don't know how, a light bulb came on. It was like the Lord said, hey, that's a blessing. Your children know where to find you in the morning. They know that they can find you talking to God in a room by yourself, spending time with the Lord. That's a blessing. Now, I don't know if they can remember that or if it's seated in their psyche. I don't know, but it was what I thought was something frustrating ended up being a blessing. My children know where they can find me in the morning. I'm with God. He's talking to me and I'm talking to Him. I wonder, do your children know this? If you're a tradie and you get up way before them and then you're gone, they probably don't. But do they know that you spend time with the Lord? If you don't have children, But the way that you live now, if you continue to do that and you do have children, will they know that you spend time with God? Because they'll see it in you. When they want to know what God says about something, they need to know that and go to you, because you spend time with God until they grow in their maturity themselves. They need to know that you honor the Word of God, and you honor it by spending time in it, reading it. You honor it by memorizing it. You honor it by believing it and living it. You honor it by, when you have a family, you spend time around it as well, and you obey those things. Your children need to know that you honor the Word of God in that way. We see here that Eli didn't honor God or his Word, yet Samuel did. So Samuel had the privilege of God speaking to him, and so the high priest had to go to Samuel to find out what happened. And Eli asked Samuel to tell him all that God said. And I believe this was Samuel's test. He was going, what was he going to do? Does he speak the truth in love? Or does he tell Eli something a little bit different? Or miss out a few things so that he doesn't upset Eli at this time? Well, this is where we see how precious God's word was to Samuel. Because he didn't change a thing. He didn't leave anything out. He told Eli what God had said to him. We read that in verse 18. It says, "And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him." So he took that breath when Eli said, "Well, what did God say?" Well, this is it. And he told him exactly what God had told him. Maybe God said other things that aren't recorded in the scriptures. We're not sure. He wasn't going to change what God said. He wasn't going to dumb it down or change a little bit so it didn't seem as harsh. No, he just told him everything that God had said. He spoke the truth of God's word. And Samuel found out the cross that a prophet had to carry on his very first outing. He didn't get to share good news on his first outing. He had to share some bad news. And he had to show how what God has said needs to be said to others, regardless if it's a good or bad news. Moses had to do that plenty of times. Samuel had to do it, and after Samuel, there's Nathan and Jeremiah and Daniel and Elijah and Elisha. All these prophets of God so often had bad news they had to share. And that's exactly what Samuel did. And Samuel passed his test with flying colors. You could say he got 100% in the prophet's school of honesty. God's word was so precious to him that he refused to change it to put himself in a more favorable light. And I believe a good way to see how precious the word of God is to someone is to see how they use it. How they use it. How do you use the word of God? You know, if you're talking to an unsaved person and they ask you about heaven, hell, they say, "Does God say that I'm a sinner and going to hell?" What do you say to them? Do you tell them the truth in love? You can say it in a loving way, but you tell them the truth, or you change it and say, "Oh no, everyone gets to go to heaven," or whatever it may be, like too many preachers say or Christians say. You know, if your saved friends ask you a question and the answer from God's word isn't what they want to hear, and they're not going to like what they hear, do you say something different? Do you water down God's word, or do you tell them what God has to say about that? You know, as a preacher, I can tell you it's very tempting at times to leave out certain parts or to avoid certain things because you just don't want to upset people. But there is a need to treat God's word in a manner that honors God. And I think we're all tempted to change God's word or soften God's word when we know that the truth of God's word is going to upset our friends or some family. But if God's word is precious to us, then we won't. We won't dare add to God's word. We certainly will not take away from God's word. We will speak the truth. You know, years ago now, when I lived in Coffs Harbour, there was a parent come to me from the kids' club. And his wife had left him a few months ago. And he came and he asked me, "Is it okay if I get remarried?" And I could see how distraught this man was, and how if I told him God says it's okay for you to get remarried, he would be so happy. But in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that's what God says. And I thought, I cannot dishonor God's word. And so I told him, "No, I don't believe God says it's okay for you to get remarried. I think that's going against his word." And I know that's what wasn't what he wanted to hear, but I believe that I needed to love God's word more than trying to make someone happy. Interesting thing is, about 6 months later, he got back with his wife. Imagine if I'd told him something contrary to God's word and that happened. You know, I remember teaching scripture and I was sharing the gospel, and there was this little girl, innocent little girl, put up her hand when she sort of was working out this whole concept, and she said to me, "Does that mean..." She said, "If my dad doesn't ask Jesus to be his saviour, will he still go to heaven?" Well, what do you tell a little girl like that? The temptation is to make her feel good by saying, "Yes, everyone goes to heaven." But that would be a lie and dishonouring the word of God. And so you've got to say it in a manner that is still true. I think it was a long time ago, but I would have said something like, "I'm sorry, but every person who doesn't, unless anyone asks Jesus to be their Lord and Saviour, they won't go to heaven. It's for everybody like that." And so there's ways of doing it in a nice way, but still doing it right. You know, God, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Even back in the days of Paul, people were corrupting God's word and misusing it and leaving bits out and using it to fulfill their own purposes. But he says, "We are not like them, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." We're going to be sincere in what we're going to do. It's not false. And that's how we ought to be with the word of God. And so the question I'd like to move on from that is, how precious is God's word to you in that way? Do you change it to suit your surroundings so that you don't upset people? You're more worried about people not liking you than telling them what God says. What a lot of Christians can do is you change it to suit you. You're able to twist God's word to justify what you're doing. In fact, the best way that we can honour the word of God is to actually obey it. Hear it and believe it and live it and do what God says. That's what he wants us to be doing. How much do you honour the word of God? Well, remember the verse, "They that honour me, I will honour." And Samuel honoured God and his word because he loved him. Even as a young child, that love was growing. And because of that, God honoured him. Now, how did God honour him? Well, we read there in verse 19 this. After him being honest with Eli, telling him exactly what God said, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground." You might say, well, how did God honour him in that? Well, there's three things here. Now, don't worry, we're not going to look long at them, but we see that there are three things that we're told here because Samuel honoured the Lord. The first thing is that Samuel grew. It says there, "And Samuel grew." Now, you might think, well, what's so big a deal about that? Well, I'll guarantee you that was a big deal to Hannah, his mother. To know that her son didn't starve to death, didn't get hurt or didn't get lost, but was able to grow and continue to grow into a man, would have been such a relief for that lady, Hannah. It would have confirmed to her that what she did was right. Even though it was hard to keep her promise to the Lord, yet she did it, and she could see now this was the right thing to do. It was a wise decision to keep my promise to God and do it, even though it was really hard. Because she got to see her little boy grow physically and also spiritually into a man of God. That's something that any parent seeks. Any Christian parent. But not only that, it says there, and the Lord was with him. And we looked at that a little bit last week as well, how he began that fellowship with God. Samuel enjoyed something that Eli and his sons didn't get to enjoy, and that is fellowship with the Lord God and the protection upon his life. Samuel had the Lord by his side, helping him during that time. The Lord was with him. And that's a comfort that we can enjoy as well if we are honoring the Lord in our life, that he will be with us, helping us. Even though we might be alone in every other aspect, we know that we have the Lord, and the Lord really is more than enough. You know, if you refuse to have a drink of alcohol at work with all your workmates, you might feel very alone and tacked, but the Lord will be there with you still. To speak the truth about sin and hell might make you very unpopular in some places, but you won't be alone because God will be with you. To make a stand for Christ and to follow him might mean you have to lose some friends who you thought were good friends, but they don't want to go your way. But I tell you, Christ will honor you for that, and he will be with you. You know, and Samuel, he honored the Lord's work and he honored the Lord's word. And although it would have been hard in the environment that he was in, that even though he was in the temple of God, he was surrounded by godless people, God was with him throughout that time. And that would have been a blessing. One that I suspect other people would have seen and wished they had as well. Just like they do when they see a Christian walking in that close relationship with the Lord. But the third thing we see here is, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, you could read it a couple of ways, but what I see here in the context is that the Lord made sure none of the words of Samuel fell to the ground. In that when God told Samuel to say something, and when Samuel honored his word and spoke it exactly how God wanted him to, then God made sure those things came to pass. God was there ministering alongside Samuel. They were in a partnership together. And that is the biggest blessing that you can enjoy. When you are doing what God wants you to do, you're doing it faithfully. You're honoring his work and his word. And God says, I will help you in this. There is a partnership there. And we can be sure that as a local church, if we continue to keep God's word pure, we preach it and we speak it and we don't change it or manipulate it, we don't add to it, we don't push our own hobby horses or whatever it may be, but we continue to just do what God wants us to do, he will work in and through us. As a church, within the ministries, as individuals, we will see God working in us and through us. And if you want to be blessed, that is the greatest blessing that you can have, to see God use you. There is no greater blessing. And so he was a young man that chose to honor the Lord in the work and in God's word, God's work and God's word. And God honored him for it. And so in finishing, can I encourage you to examine yourself as I examine myself? Do you honor the Lord in his work? And then also, do you honour the Lord in his word? Honour the Lord's word. In your private life, do you spend time in it? If you have a family, does your family meet around it? Do you keep it pure? Not add to it or twist it? Do you meditate on it? Do you obey it and live it? How precious is God's word to you? I trust it's very precious. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have, as Westerners particular, this wonderful privilege to have your word in our own language. And we have access to it so easily. We have no excuse not to spend time in it and to allow you to minister to us through it. I pray that we would show your word the respect it deserves in the way we honor it. Because, Lord, we honor and love you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.